You are now immersed in the Superfans Soccer Cast with your hosts, Maddie Savage and Mike Apex. It's about to get lit.
Welcome in to the Superfan Soccer Cast. This is your ultimate pitch side pass to the beautiful game. This is one of your hosts, Maddie Savage. I'm joined by Mike Apex. Mike, what you doing, my man?
What's going on, broski? I'm very happy to be here. We got so much going on, and it's been a crazy week. The last couple weeks here in MLS in the soccer world, so we definitely got to get to it.
That is correct, and we are here to break down the goals, the drama, and the passion from this past week. We even saw some of that passion boil over, and we'll get into that. We will definitely get into that. We've got the news, the hot takes, and a banner to keep you in the game. So let's lace up our cleats, grab a seat, and let's kick off this episode. Mike, you wanted to give some shine to the MLS Next, and rightly so. For those who don't know, the MLS Next is the early, the first iteration of what? Like the minor league for MLS, correct?
Yes, indeed. That's pretty much what it is. And it's like our developmental league. We have the academies and such. And Maddie's going to speak on the godfather of all of this a little later. But yes, Maddie, MLS Next, guys, is, man, the future looks very, very bright for the 2025-2026 season, which is actually kicking off on September 6th, Maddie. And man, they've done so much as far as expanding it right now, Maddie. They're going to feature two new divisions this year. We have one called the MLS Next Homegrown Division, and that's the top tier, including all of the MLS academies, plus 122 elite academies. And we also have the MLS Next Academy Division, and that's a newly launched tier to welcome additional elite academies. And that's going to have more than half of the previously, which didn't participate in MLS Next. So they're just adding a whole lot. And it's going to be 273 clubs, Maddie, which is nuts. 273 clubs, 2,189 teams, and over 43,000 players nationwide. All right? And that's going to include 28,000 matches played throughout North America. And this is starting, like I said, September 6th, guys. And as we all know, MLS Next, I think the age group is under 13 to 19. It's 13 to 19, if I'm not mistaken here. And they've added, here's some of the teams I just want to go over real quickly. They got Albion SC in Colorado, Chattanooga FC, which is, of course, Tennessee, Huntsville City FC in Alabama, Michigan Football Academy, Grand Rapids. I go out there often. I like Grand Rapids. Northern Virginia Alliance, Leesburg, Virginia, the Football Academy, Florham Park, New Jersey, and Tulsa Greenwood SC in Tulsa, Oklahoma. These are some of the new clubs that are going to be part of the MLS Next Pro. And man, I'm so excited, Maddie, because you know we've both been on this. I mean, we were just talking last week about getting the indoor Superfan Soccer League started here in the city and whatnot. And, you know, I think that would be a great thing. But just looking at these young kids and how they're coming up now and developing, this is just a blessing right here. And then let me not forget about this, guys. They have a new scholarship initiative, which requires every MLS Next club to award at least one full scholarship per season to at least one player on their team. Now, this is huge. You know what I'm saying? Like, talk about getting rewarded for balling out. So if these young players, Maddie, on these, you know, on these MLS Next teams and they're playing really well, they're going to get rewarded and be able to go to college and actually develop and play and get an education even more and bring that talent to the MLS.
Yes, I got to agree with you. I love this. The entire thing they got going on, this is big. This is big because you're going from every team having, you know, just one academy team, if you will, so to go from 30 teams to really expanding that net. And I mean, this is a lot of teams, a lot of players. And you've said on previous episodes, and I'll give you your credit, Mike. You've said we got some of the best talented athletes here in the United States. And that's not tooting our own horn. That's just the facts. When we yes. put our mind to a sport, whether it be basketball, baseball, soccer in this instance, whatever the case may be, and you look at what the Olympics, I mean, there's a reason why when the Olympics come to town, or shouldn't say come to town, when the Olympics come, you know, time for them to do, we're always up there with the gold medals because when we put our mind to it, we succeed. That's just the American way. And for you, you know, catch me with my American flag shirt on right now because I'm sounding so macho. This is great. All of the teams in Europe, in Asia, in Africa now, around mm-hmm. the world, they have these academies, and they're finding young players who potentially could be the next phenom, the next Messi, Ronaldo, Pele, you name them, right? They're trying to identify mm-hmm. if this player has it early and can get that that coaching in, that development in, to see if they can make it to the next level. And this is excellent. It reminds me of here where we are in our local area. Every year we have the Peach Jam for basketball. Right. And it's a magnet mm. of talented basketball players. Mm. And this, what you're telling me, what they're starting to do as far as their with this giant net, it sounds like they're trying to attract and create a scenario similar to Peach Jam where let's see the players and get them together and get them to compete with each other and let the cream rise to the top and then let the teams, and we're not talking about just MLS teams. I'm talking about there's going to be teams from all over the world who are going to be like, hey, what do they got going over there? That kid right there. We've seen it with Kevin Sullivan. I mean, you yes. got Manchester City already done scooped kid up.
Yeah, Maddie. So this is proof in the pudding, right? The MLS Next expansion, this is going to be huge because just this season alone, there's been more than 100 MLS Next alumni who have appeared in MLS regular season matches this year. So that's great. As we were talking about the competition, and we're going to speak a little bit more on that, super fans, how, you know, we were ranked, what was it, Maddie, 12th or 13th, our league in the world. I think we're going to be moving up a couple notches here really soon. But I love the direction we're going. And Maddie and I, we're going to be hands-on out there, super fans. Like I said, we're already part of, you know, contributing U.S. soccer and such and following and supporting those guys, which we all should. But definitely, we're going to be, you know, hands and feet on, all hands and feet on deck. So, yeah, Maddie.
And I just have to make a little comment. You mentioned earlier about the godfather of, you know, our system that we have now, which is, you know, of academies and everything else. And I got to give David Beckham, got to give him his props. He's the godfather of the academy system. Really? When he made the jump Yes, when he made the jump to the MLS, that was one of the first questions that he asked. He wanted to know pretty much everything that the MLS did, which, you know, we still do things differently, but when he come into the league, it was way different. But he wanted to know the ins and outs. He wanted to know, you know, one of the questions he asked, well, what's the academies look like? And Don Garber, the commissioner, was just like, academies, we don't have those. He's like, we just have, you know, these players, they come from, like, college teams and things like that, or other various free agents. That's what we do. And right. Beckham looked at him and said, no, you have to have academies. Like, I come from an academy. You know, all these other players, that we come from academies. Like, if you want this league to grow into the future, so you need to, you know, implement this. So him caring about the future of the league, you know, now he's, you know, an owner, part owner. But that little bit there, that little tidbit of, hey, you know, you need to do this. Like, it's important. To seeing what it is now, it's really taken off. And I gotta think that he would be proud to see where it's at and where from nothing, what, 20 years ago to, I mean, really, really expanding. It's something to see.
Yes, salute to Bend It Like Beckham. I didn't realize that, Maddie. Wow, that's a big fact right there. I didn't know that he had that type of contribution and impact on American soccer, right? That's tremendous right there, because if you think about our sports over here, Maddie, everything over here is based on, like, AAU, right? Like, as far as, like, some of the other sports, we're speaking, like, on basketball, even soccer, a lot of, they have AAU teams and such, right? Baseball, they have traveling teams. Mm-hmm. You know how that goes or whatever. And the sad thing is, a lot of these sports, the parents or kids, they're required to have a lot of money to be able to play on these traveling teams in order to develop. This is what I love about the MLS Next. It's allowing these kids, it doesn't cost, you know, a bunch of money and all of that. They can get involved. They're playing on these teams. And this thing is just crazy. I mean, I'm just very impressed. And thank you, Mr. Beckham, for blessing America. You know, with that, I wish Messi would get hands on and do some, you know, some contributing over here also. But we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll get into that. It doesn't seem he doesn't seem to share the same passion for growing American soccer like Beckham did. Because Beckham saw the opportunity and definitely seized it. Full force, but let's get in on that. Let's talk about Beckham's team, his current part ownership team, Inter Miami. So this past Sunday, the League's Cup final, it was the Seattle Sounders versus Inter Miami. It was at Lumen Field. It was a one-sided match for majority, if we're being honest. I mean, Seattle won handily. I mean, it wasn't there were moments where it got close, but Miami just could not finish their chances. Messi missed one that he doesn't normally miss. I mean, right on top of the keeper. You had Allende, believe that was who it was. I mean, missed a really, really bad one. So Miami just could not finish their chances, and it ended up costing them the match. But after the match, there was a melee that went on, and I mean, I'm going to get you in on this, Mike. What do you think? What did you see? What was going on? Let's bring the fans up to date, because I don't want to steal the shine on this right here.
Nah, man, we're gonna tag team on this one, Maddie. Yeah, this is definitely a tag team, because this was a savage smackdown by the Seattle Sounders. Plain and simple. And let me say this just real quick, guys. I don't want to get too nostalgic, but Maddie, you, as you know, I live in Seattle. Shout out to the 206 Emerald City. Approximately 6 years, you know what I mean? Early 2000s, and I had the blessings and fortunes to work for Aramark. I worked at Key Arena, which now has this the Storm. I worked at then Quest Field. Did a couple Sounders games. They were fantastic, guys. I used to have to wear earplugs. It was so loud in there. And, of course, next door was Safeco Field, right, which is now T-Mobile. And I think, what is it in Seattle now? Lumen? I think it's Lumen Field now.
Yeah. It's Lumen Field, yeah. That's where they play at currently.
Okay. But back in the day, it was like Quest Field and whatnot. But I feel like that's one of my favorite cities, of course, you know, New York and then ATL. But it's kind of near and dear to me. So I know how those fans are up there, Maddie. I mean, they have a band called the thing they call Soundwave, and they used to march down to the stadium like on game day. And that's what I really love about soccer, just that whole, you know, fans really, super fans getting involved. And, man, it was crazy. They walk all the way through the city. But anywho, so I'm painting a picture, guys. Stay with me. The fans, the super fans in Seattle are awesome. They're going to support all their teams. They're going to come out there. They're going to do, you know, the most to support. And I love that. That's what we want. So, Maddie, do you know how many people showed up for that championship, League Cup championship game?
Oh, it was sold out. It was sold out. I think it was, then they said it was like 70,000 or something like that. It was like the official number.
Yes, sir. Record number, 70,000. Sounds like when me and you went to go see Messi and he didn't show up in Mercedes-Benz.
Right.
Right? So we're going to slow cook this one, though, guys. We're going to put this on a rotisserie and smoke this thing right here, okay? Because I just want to set the stage. So, record number of fans. Messi actually shows up, right? Miami shows up. They made it to the Leagues Cup Championship, you know, and everybody's, well, mainstream media in particular, they're kind of like, you know what I mean, jockstrap sniffing these dudes, you know, they're putting them up there, all, you know, whatever. I get it. But if you listen to MLS, hey, Seattle just showed and proved that, you know, Miami's a great team, but they're not, air quotes, the team right now, right? But, yeah, Maddie, so it was a raucous crowd. Seattle put the beat down on these guys again. I didn't expect this, Maddie. I did not expect this. Because what I'm alluding to now is the poor sportsmanship that we've seen from Inter Miami since day one.
Yeah. I don't understand why this, number one, it shouldn't have never happened. That's number one. Luis Suarez, he did the most despicable thing that any human being can do by spitting in the face of Gene Ramirez, the head of security for Seattle. That was despicable and disgusting. And that is the most savage red card that I can give him. That's something that should never be done. Ever. And I'm going to give kudos to Gene for not punching him in the face, for having the better demeanor than I would. And I mean, I would have laid him out. I don't care. You know, you do something like that, it just triggers a instinct in especially us guys. You know what I'm saying? It's like, dude, what the, yes, did you just do? But my take on that is Suarez really needs to be suspended indefinitely. For this, number one, other players, we'll get to them in a second, but I'm gonna laser focus in on Luis Suarez right now. He needs to be suspended indefinitely. It's been revealed the suspensions for the League's Cup, because since this was a League's Cup competition, that's, you know, what we've been kind of waiting on. Still waiting on MLS, by the way. Still waiting on MLS to make a decision. But,
whoa, hold up, Maddie. I don't mean to interrupt you. What? Are you serious that he's only getting suspended for Leagues Cup?
That's what it is currently, yes. Every player that has been sent out, you know, their suspensions is only in Leagues Cup. And here's the thing, Mike. He only got 6 games in League's Cup. He should have...
Get out of here, man.
He should have, in my opinion, it should have been whatever. Like, in the next season, the entire... One entire tournament or something like that. You know, like, the entire time. You're done. Like, you're... At least one more season. Essentially, what that would have said... I mean, 6 games is essentially saying that he's done because he's probably not coming back to Miami at his age.
Thank
you. And his performance levels and everything else. That's neither here nor there. But, yes, 6 game suspension for him. It was 2 games for Sergio Busquets.
Busquets.
Mm-hmm. And... a 5-game suspension for one of the Seattle's Sounders coaches that got involved in the ruckus. He got 5 because he threw a punch. And like I said, they went back and looked at everything. But here's the thing. Falcone for Inter Miami put a guy in a headlock. No suspension for him. Nothing for Tomas Áviles, who, you know, Mr. Big and Bad.
Wait a minute.
Big and Bad and didn't even play. Wanted to throw down after the match. He didn't get anything. Neither did Wygant. So, really, they kind of got out easily on Leafs Cup. And then no MLS suspensions as of now, as of recording. And that's just terrible.
Yeah, this is straight blasphemy, right? They're touting the Inter-Miami team to be the crown, you know, the crown gem of the MLS, right? Messi's over here because you're getting on Suarez. I'm going to get on El Capitan, okay? And that's Messi, right? Because everything you said, I agree 1,000%. And I hope the head of security, which is ironic, I hope he files a civil suit, Maddie. I hope he files a separate civil suit and sues Suarez and get some dollars, because that's the only way these guys will respect is us when you sue them and you're hitting them in the wallet, right? That's the only thing. That little soft ASS 6 game Leafs Cup suspension, what is that? That's nothing. That's not even a slap on the wrist, bro, in my opinion. If you're going to really have the other players to look at this situation and don't have another, you know, outburst or fight, you know, because we've been rough and rowdy this year, which I get it. But Maddie, this is very disgusting to me. And the fact that I'm about to get on Messi right now. I'm watching after the match. The guys were chippy. The guys were, you know, they were all pissed off because they got beat. They got spanked. Couldn't take their butt whipping like men. So here they come, right, with the BS, and I'm going to say Suarez is the initiator, right? We're going to say that.
Oh, when for he had sure. That young... Oh, for sure. He definitely was.
Yeah, go ahead. Speak on that, because he got the young kid. We were talking about that. Got him in the headlock. He's like 19, 20 years old?
Yeah, he ran after Obed Vargas as soon as the final whistle was blown. He ran to go find this guy. Now, why he went after him? I mean, I think that part of it had to do with Obed Vargas was playing Messi very, very tight. And as soon as any ball was passed, when Messi, a lot of what Messi's game is, especially now, is he'll pass and he'll do a quick, kind of like a give and go in basketball. It's for people who don't really follow soccer that much, if you're trying to like what's going on. So what he would do is he'd get the ball, he'll pass it out, and then he'll run and do like a cut in basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And teams would just let them – the backdoor cut. That's right. Mm-hmm. And teams just would not do anything, like play physical with Messi or whatever. And so he's getting those passes back, and as soon as he – like I said, a give and go, and he's onside, he gets the ball, it's 1v1, and it's a good scoring opportunities. Well, Obed Vargas was like, I'm not doing that. As soon as Messi passed the ball looking to go and run, Vargas was right there with him, playing in physical. And Messi fell down couple times, was looking for foul calls, didn't get them. And I think that was part of the reason why Luis Suarez went directly, took a beeline after the match, went directly for Obed Vargas to probably say a few words. And, you know, had him around the neck or whatever. And this is where, if Matthew Savage is the commissioner right now, I'm looking at it, and I've told you there would have been some Sounders players that did get a suspension, a fining at least.
Okay.
One of them would have been Reed Baker Whiting because, you know, he's amped after the game and he's kind of like, yeah, you know, whatever. And that kind of set off, it kind of initiated everything because he was at the wrong place at the wrong time, being, you know, just celebrating with his team. But this whole thing is going down between Luis Suarez and Obed Vargas. And, oh, by the way, here comes Sergio Busquets. Mm-hmm. Vargas said something. I don't know what it was. And then Busquets, who's normally very calm demeanor, decided to throw a punch. And that's when everything set off. Reed Baker White is there, ball of energy. And he's like, hey, what's going on? Da-da-da. They're pushing back and forth. And then, you know, it went from there. But, yeah.
Yeah.
He should have got a suspension. Talking about Reed Baker Whiting, and the guy, he's excited. But sometimes you can get too amped, too excited, you know, to kind of rub people the wrong way. And it was the wrong time, wrong place at the wrong time. And, yeah, I want to let you get in on the rest of the the fruckus.
No. We're getting everything out here because I know the super fans have been waiting to hear this. You know, this has been a hot topic. I mean, all over. It's had a lot of influence, too. We're going to talk about that with that NFL situation also. No, I agree. I feel as though this. I understand what you're saying, Maddie. You know, wrong place, wrong time for that. But he's at home. They just won the you know, Championship League Cup. He's excited. He's celebrating. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know you're like me. You're very passionate. You know what I mean? That's why you're savage. You don't play, you know, when it comes to that. You're going to, you know, you're going to celebrate however. But the fact that Miami reacted that way, it's no excuse. And now let me rewind back to Messi real quick. I'm looking at, while the melee is going on, Messi's over there. He was shaking somebody's hand. I can't remember who. And then he's kind of like, they're fighting. He put his hand on his hips. He's kind of just standing there. And I'm like, bro, why aren't you going over there breaking this up? You're supposed to be the leader. You're the ambassador of the MLS. He's just standing there like, la-di-da-di-da. You know, I'm like, yo, bro, get over there and break him up. Because out of anybody on that team, they're going to listen to Messi, right? They're going to listen to him. Or Beckham, if Beckham would have. I didn't see Beckham either. But when all that stuff was going on, Messi was like, okay, whatever. So that tells me, we know Messi's fiery too. We respect him being a competitor. But at that point in time, Maddie, I was very disappointed in him not getting over there and controlling his guys, showing leadership, showing some humility, and taking their, you know, butt whooping like men. I mean, it's nothing wrong, you know, with losing. You're not going to win them all. It's just when you have a team that's overhyped like Miami is, I guess they don't expect to, you know, lose like that, Maddie, and they couldn't take it. And here's another thing. I want to give kudos to the referees. One thing I noticed, and this has been going on since that incident with Messi earlier. The referees are calling these games fair down the line, Maddie. F-A-I-R. They're calling the games fair, right? They're not being biased either way. They're not giving Inter Miami any special calls. They're not giving these guys kissing their butt. You know what I'm saying? They're not doing that. They're calling it straight. And the fact that young Vargas, as you said, Maddie, he was pretty much playing press, right? He was pressing man-to-man pretty much on Messi, preventing him from getting open to get good looks. Because we know if Messi's one-on-one and open, he's deadly. He's going to score. You give him enough opportunities, he's going to score. I don't care who you are. This is proven. But for that young man to sacrifice and say, hey, I'm going to do whatever it takes to win, and then Suarez to get turned into a B, you know what, and attack him like that, I was just so frustrated, Maddie. I could not believe it. And like I said, I got to call Messi to the table as far as leadership. Yeah, I mean, dude, what all he had to do is, he didn't even run over there, Maddie. And the mainstream media has not said a word about this. I wonder why.
Yeah, that's a good point. They did, however, make a point talking about the media and Messi. So in the match, I'm not sure if you heard this, but apparently Messi's been getting some flack because in the match, he was trash-talking Pedro de la Vega, who I always thought that Pedro de la Vega, who plays for Seattle, he's their big pickup in the last year's offseason. Young guy, he's like 24, and I always thought he was Brazilian. I know he come from a Brazil team to the MLS, so I'm like, okay, you know. But he is Argentinian, same as Messi. And during the match.
Wow, he's a homeboy.
Homeboy, wow. Right. Wow. It was reported that Messi told him, you know, in the middle of the match or whatever, you know, the trash talk, that Messi told De La Vega that as long as he has something to do with the Argentinian national team, that he won't expect to get a call-up, essentially. Kind of like trash talking. And although what? I can't independently verify that it was said by Messi, I can totally 1,000% see him saying that.
Yo, Maddie, that's the ultimate trash talk, right? You'll never, you know what I mean? Like, Messi just, that's like a body, right? He just, like, destroyed the young boy, man. I mean, the young man, excuse me. But, wow, he actually said that. I can believe that, though. I can believe that. Messi is, he's heartless. He's a competitor. We love that about him. But this, I guess, I don't know. I think MLS is entitling these guys. They're the ones that's putting a battery in their back. They're the ones that's like, you know, and we talked about this, Maddie, just you go in Walmart and all you see is Inter Miami or Messi. You go, you know what I mean? Even we were talking earlier about the YouTube situation with a free game or whatever. And the only team they did it for was for Inter Miami. Right.
In the preseason. It's like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
For the preseason. Yeah. During the preseason. Yes, sir. So it's like, because we were saying, you know, possibly MLS doing that, at least one game per week, free game for the super fans. And to see Messi, like I said, man, I just got to call it straight. Very disappointed. I know you. You're my homie. I know you. You would have been right there in the middle of the melee. You would have been throwing, you know what I mean? Throwing blows and, you know, whatever, if need be. But as a leader, if you knew you got beat, I know you as much. We hate to lose, but we're honorable. You would have broke them up. Yo, bro, get back. You know what I'm saying? And when I didn't see that, Maddie, and I just seen it just going crazy, I didn't realize it, man. I didn't realize how big it went. It just went global. It didn't just go global. It went viral across everywhere. You know what I mean? Like all sports. And we saw that kid in Philly with the Eagles and Cowboys.
Jalen Carter, right?
Thank you. Jalen Carter, yes. And not even 6 seconds into the game, he spits in Dak Prescott's face. Now, what say you, Maddie? Look at the influence Suarez had. He didn't even realize it. Because I never heard of people getting spit in the face until this MLS situation.
Did he get spit in the face? I thought he spit on the... Either way, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where. Spitting on another person is just the ultimate disrespect. Let's just clear that up. That's disgusting. But yeah. Yeah, it was terrible. I mean, but if you look at the two different leagues, right? He got suspended on the spot. Now, granted, it's slightly different circumstances because we're talking about after the game and during a game. But I told you this past week, I said, check your watch. I said, the countdown begins. This guy, he's definitely going to get suspended. You can just get your rubber stamp and just hit it down right now. I can tell you. What does it say? The FDIC guarantee. He's getting suspended. Right. It's not just for that one game. It's probably going to be at least another game, maybe even more. And just for clarification, in the NFL, they play 17 currently. And MLS plays about, I think they play 33. So it's roughly twice as many games. So
right.
For him to get one or two game suspension, that's pretty hefty for the overall season. That would be the equivalent of like a four-game suspension in MLS just for, you know, comparing apples to apples there. But yeah, we can expect that from Roger Goodell. He has a track record of saying, like, I'm not going to accept this. He actually has a term that he has made popular that is what? Conduct detrimental to the league. Don Garber needs to go ahead and adopt that phrase, because what Luis Suarez did is conduct detrimental to the league. It was a black eye, not only on the MLS, but on Inter Miami and soccer as a whole. Everybody involved with the entire situation. Even, like I said, even the winning team, Seattle, got a black eye from this because some of the players who were, you know, not trying to get punked, defending themselves, but it's still a bad look because the guys that were doing the Apple a broadcast, they didn't cut to commercial, which that's kudos on them, because I was I had a half a thought. I'm like, they're going to cut the commercial. Then we're not going to see all this. But they stayed on it the entire time. We saw it all. So for those of us that were watching Sunday, we saw it live when Luis Suarez spit in Gene Ramirez's face. It was disgusting. Mm-hmm. Absolutely despicable. And this is the type of stuff that, you know, Jordan got a black eye. It's already out there. Takes the team into Miami and Luis Suarez, which was, it was a weak statement by both of them. It took them 4 days before they even said anything, Mike. 4 days.
4 days? Wow. Yikes. And, you know, that's damage control. They let the hype kind of die down before they spoke on it. That's probably what they told them. That, the PR team was working overtime on this one. Hey, you know, let it die down a little bit. I call a backhanded apology, Maddie, because it didn't seem very sincere to me, right? And I'm glad that you and Garber, hey, man, we have nothing but respect for you, okay? You're doing a great job with the MLS as a commission. We get that. However, what Maddie said was 100,000% correct. Look at what Roger Goodell is doing with the NFL. It's all about the shield. No player is above the shield, right? Dude, Maddie, I'm at the point right now, and we spoke about this. Any publicity is good publicity, whether it's bad or not, right? You just said that Apple stayed on. They showed the fight. They were right there. They, you know, they didn't care. They let it keep, they let the cameras keep rolling, right? And, you know, now you got a lot of people. I've even had my pops was like, yo, what happened with that? You know, they're doing MLS. Those guys out there fighting, they looking like the Malice in the Palace or something out there, right? I was like, it ain't that bad, right? He was just speaking in terms. But, Maddie, I mean, I think it's all, we say fair play, I think it's F-A-R-E play. They're making all of this money right now. We know that Miami is the team and Messi and such. And they have a stacked squad. This is a super team, Maddie. Make no mistakes, right? This is a super team in Miami. Yes, they brought in a lot of different players. They're putting, you know, all these pieces in here. And this whole thing is a testament to how great the MLS actually is. This is proof right here to me, Maddie. And I just feel like the commish, and we may have to bet on a Gatorade or something, Maddie, what the punishment is going to be. But I'm going to be honest right now, Maddie, I don't see much of anything, if anything, right now. You know what I'm saying? Because now we're starting to wind down for playoff positions, and Miami ain't, they're not really doing that hot right now. So they need every, for them to take, if he suspends Suarez, right, and that could be a big, you know, a big, and Busquets, think of the impact that I have on them, Maddie. I mean, they could lose 2 out of the next 3 or 4 games, depending on the suspension. So I don't see him doing anything, man. Not too much. He hasn't even come out and made a PSA or anything. So I just, Maddie, for the life of me, it's just pissed me off right now, because it seems to be they're selling out for the dollar, right? In the views or whatever, instead of the integrity of the game. And see, when you start doing that, that's when you lose control. You know?
Yeah, I have to agree with you. Let me just preface it for you like this. Let's just say you're a Red Bulls fan. I'm a Nashville supporter. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, either one of those two teams was playing Seattle and the same situation happened, right? Well, number one, I don't see it happening, because both of those teams have fairly strong coaches that have a handle on the group. But also, they've got leaders within the group that would be like, no, we'll cut this out if something were to happen. Let's just say that first. But let's return to hypothetical land. This happens. Right. Something has been said. It won't be like just swept under the rug. It'll be addressed. Suspensions will be levied. It'll be, you know, just, it'll be handled. So the fact that it hasn't been handled, it speaks volumes without them having to say anything. Their silence is speaking volumes. And I'm gonna add something else to this little bit here of our discussion. All right? It's a culture with Miami now. They're building a culture. What people don't realize is we've said this, I believe, a couple episodes ago, that Miami's a fairly new franchise. So they're winning and doing this with Messi, but they're building their history now, and they're starting to mm-hmm. have this persona of this is who we are, and mm-hmm. we don't care about the rules. We don't whether it comes to the roster construction, whether it comes to the after match things. Like we expect, we are entitled to win, and when we don't win and it doesn't go our way, we're gonna have a crash out and get into a little melee. And the coach himself, that's why I give Seattle's coach, Smetzer, I give him a lot of credit, because he was down there. He was telling his guys, like, yo, what's going on? Like, you know, trying to, like, stop it. He made the way from the technical area to, you know, where it was going down. I mean, it wasn't that far. But my point I'm trying to make is it wasn't that far. Where was Javier Mascherano? And his statements after the match were despicable as well. Do you remember what he said, Mike? Mascherano, after the match, when he was asked?
What did he say?
He said essentially, like, I don't know what happened. And, if something happened, maybe that they were enticed, or they were, like, egged on or something. But he's saying that he didn't know what started it or what happened. Like, he was, like, clueless about it, which, I mean, he's a clueless coach, let's be real.
Really?
Yeah, that's a shot. Yeah, and his fact that he was already was defending what they did. He didn't know. That's what he said. He didn't know. I don't believe it. But and automatically he's just like, essentially, like, if they did something, then somebody must have started it. Essentially, that's my rough translation of what he said.
Man, this guy, he's in a coach. He's a minion. He's a diminutive minion right now for the Inter Miami players. This guy had, like you said, he was on the hot seat earlier. We mentioned that, you know, it's been crazy for coaches this season, guys. MLS do not play when it comes to they're not afraid to get rid of a coach. They don't care what. And he didn't secure his job any more or less by just sitting back and, like you say, Maddie, just saying, you know, pretty much giving these guys a pass. I cannot respect, and I know I'm not disrespecting his coaching acumen and his knowledge of the game, but I cannot respect a coach, a man that cannot stand up for what's right. If you can't stand up for what's right, your players aren't going to respect you anyway. Meaning, you know what I'm saying? Dude, all you had to do was just say, hey, it wasn't a good look for us. I'm not proud of our guys. You know what I mean? And we should have handled ourselves better in that situation. You know, I'm not cool with that. That's what you have to say. But he's sitting up here, like you say, Maddie. I mean, dude, take the knee pads off, all right? Stand up like a man and speak the truth. That's it. You don't have to necessarily call out the whole team. Look, we got our butts whooped, and we should have just took our beating like a man and not with all this other stuff. And you're talking about culture. I was listening to you, and you made some very good points, Maddie, because we're going to get on these guys. This has been kind of been on my chest a couple of days. So I got to get it off my chesticles right now, all right, guys? So these guys they're building their culture, as you said, Maddie. It's not a winning culture. It's a culture of coming up short, right? They'll get there, and then they'll come up short. They'll get there, and they'll get beat. They'll get there to the championship, and they'll get beat. You know what I mean? If you really look at them, a lot of high expectations and a lot of media, you know, just slobbering over these guys. But then when they get in a big game and they actually get challenged, when somebody actually challenges them, they back down. They don't want no smoke, Maddie. I'm telling you, they don't want no smoke. These guys want to act like they're bullies, like they're tough guys and such. And nobody's buying it. As we see, nobody's buying that. And I just look at the whole situation. Has the MLS been compromised? We saw San Diego and the super fans out there going crazy, defending their home field. You're not LA, dude. You're not San Diego and in the Bay and San Jose. We saw the fights out there, Maddie. What did the owner of the team or whoever came out made that immediately? Remember, he immediately condemned all of that. He didn't wait no time. He did it that same day, that same night. But here it is over here. When Inter Miami does things, they got the Mickey Mouse gloves on. They got, it's bare knuckle time right now. I don't need no gloves. I don't need nothing. The same way they're out here assaulting people. I bet if these guys start suing them, because that is a suable offense. You know what I'm saying? And as we talked about, Maddie, it's classified as a assault and a battery charge, a possible battery charge also.
Yeah, I'm really surprised that nothing was really done to Suarez after that, especially in Washington State like that. I mean, you sent me the statutes and everything. Like, there's a lot of places where, yeah, that's a, you know, serious thing because it's disgusting. And you don't know. And granted, we're getting in the weeds on this, but this is good. I don't want to stop what we got or the train, but this is good. But think about it. You don't know what another person, you know, has going on, you know, outside of the, you know, just leave it at that, keep it PG. You don't know what other people have got going on. And whenever they have their bodily fluids just flying around and you have no control over any of that, like, it's just, no, that's just, no. It's wrong. It's despicable. If I am the commissioner, then Luis Suarez does not play anymore the rest of the MLS season, period. And that's not harsh enough. I think that he should get suspended the rest of the MLS season. And if they're more than likely going to make the playoffs, he's suspended for the playoffs too. It needs to be that harsh because it won't happen. But that's what the punishment should be. And Busquets for throwing the punch, he should get 3. Falcone should get 3 for the headlock. That he didn't even get anything from Leagues Cup, which I thought was really bizarre because he put one of the Seattle guys in a headlock, like it was bad. And Wygant as well, but his was like little just chiming in. Him, Wygant and Thomas Avalos will get 1 apiece, or possibly just a just not a suspension, but a fine. But if you really, really want to make Miami kind of like get in line, you need to do suspensions and not these fines. They got plenty of money. You need to do suspensions because that's how you're going to get Messi's attention. If he's missing these players and they're kind of like on the bubble, I think they're 6th right now in the East. So it's like they're not solid. It'd be one thing you suspend all these players and they're like 2. They can lose some games, still make, like, they're in a compromising position. I was looking at some games they got coming up. And they have to, their next game in MLS play, they got to go to Charlotte. Charlotte's a tough place to play. You're missing a couple of guys, and it's going to be extra tough, right? And they got a couple of easier matches at home. One to really look forward to, super fans, is Seattle has to play Miami, I think in like a couple of games. Like the third one on their on Miami's list, I think, was Seattle at home for Miami down in Chase Stadium. So that's why I say a lot of them need to be 3. Maybe even, like I said, Sergio Busquets probably needs 3. Suarez definitely needs 3, but he needs more. But he'll probably get those 3. And then the other guys may even get just slaps on the wrist as far as fines. But, yeah, that's the way it should go. And I'm really looking forward to that match whenever they do play because we've been talking about Miami. We didn't even really talk about Seattle. Did you know that one of their best defenders, Inuhu, didn't play? He will be playing in Miami, I guarantee you that. And they were missing the striker who's come back. I can't think of his name right now. But anyways, so they'll be getting some players back. On top of the team that just beat the brakes off of Miami in the Leagues Cup, they're going to get a couple of players back. That's a scary thing. And like I said, and after all this, they're going to be ready to go. Mm-hmm. They're going to be locked and loaded, ready to go. That's going to be must-see TV. And like I said, Miami better be ready because home field ain't going to really matter if you got a really motivated team that's you know, together. When you have something like a fight or whatever, it galvanizes the whole group around. Like they, you know, like the old Westerns, you know, they gather the wagons around and they're like, okay, you want to go after Obed Vargas? We're going to come through me first.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And I just pulled up the schedule, Maddie, now that you mentioned it, next 4 games. So yes, sir, you are correct. Saturday, super fans, next Saturday, the 13th, Charlotte and Miami are playing, right? And Miami's traveling to Charlotte for that. And then they're going to be at home on September the 16th. This is must see right here, guys. Must see, Maddie. Enter Miami and Seattle. They're playing in Miami. That's going to be the game right there. And see, after that, they got DC United, and then they have NYCFC. So these next four games are tough games. These, dude, they're playing some of the best teams in the MLS right now. So any type of suspensions, that's why I don't think they're going to do anything, Maddie. They don't, you know, Miami can't afford to lose two or three out of these next four games. You know what I'm saying? Just looking at schedule, and it's not getting any easier for these guys. I mean, plain and simple, they're going to play you guys in about a month.
I hate to cut you off, Mike. I just have a quick question. You said the 16th?
Yeah.
That's when they play?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I cannot believe this, dude. You know, that's when Nashville's playing Philadelphia Union in the Open Cup. Why do they do this? MLS, wow. Why do you do this?
Wait. What time are you guys playing? They're playing at 7:30 Eastern Standard. This is 7:30 Eastern Standard.
Eight.
That's crazy. You're right. Wow.
Yeah. Commish, see what I'm saying? Why
Garber,
would they do this?
If you're listening.
Yes, that's ridiculous. And okay, why would you have a regular season match on a Tuesday? See, I thought you were going to be on a Wednesday. See, we play the Open Cup match on a Tuesday. So why in the world are they doing that at the same time? Why does MLS seem to try to always take away from the U.S. Open Cup? They do this all the time.
Exactly. Maddie, they're doing it on purpose.
Man.
Let's just be real, bro. They're doing this on purpose. We've spoken about this. It's on purpose, man. It's on purpose. And I don't like that because, let's be real, both of these are great matches. They should have moved. This match should be moved to Wednesday night instead of Tuesday, right? And then you guys, you know, play the U.S. Open Cup. That's what it should be. Commish, if you're listening, you can move that thing to the next day, to the next night, you know what I'm saying? Because, dude, you're now, and they're both basically starting at the same time. 7:30, your game is at 8 p.m. I don't like this. This is where they're out of touch. These guys are totally out of touch, Maddie.
I'm kind of mad over here. That's why I'm quiet. Because I'm gonna be real. This is real and uncut Maddie Savage right now. I think they did that mess on purpose. Not only the scheduling. I'm not talking about that. The scheduling is obviously on purpose. But I think that they let them guys, you know, get into it to build a narrative for the game, to take away from the U.S. Open Cup. Really, I think they did.
They did, Maddie. I just got to call it how I see it, because this is a pattern that they've been doing, right? Everything is about Inter Miami. Look, we love Inter Miami, but we also love the other 29 teams in the league. You know what I'm saying? Like, we, even though we have our favorite teams and such, dude, we support the whole MLS. We just, guys, super fans. I know I'm sounding really, really, you know, passionate right now, but that's because we are. We just did a show talking about protecting the shield, right? The invisible shield. We're talking about it. Everything's about Inter Miami. And here it is again. They're trying to undermine, which is one of the biggest matches of the season, right? You two are tops in the East. Philadelphia Union, Nashville, Cashville. Come on, man. Commish, if you're listening, reschedule Miami till Wednesday. Reschedule. You could easily do that. You know what I'm saying? And give these guys a fine. Give you time to give them an actual fine. How about that? Oh, that's right. You're probably not going to do that.
Yeah. Damn. It's sad that they're doing this. And like I said, now that I've seen this and the way that it's going out as far as the scheduling, is done on purpose. You can't convince me otherwise. They let them play it out. I'm not saying that, you know, obviously I'm not going to go as far to be like, oh, rigging and stuff. I don't believe in that. But I'm saying as far as the off the field stuff to build hype, to do all this other stuff. Yeah, I can say they allowed that to happen, and it went probably more than they would have liked. But they probably were lapping it up, saying, "Yeah, this is going to build a narrative, and you know this and that." Because I don't know what Don Garber's issue is, and Commish, what's your problem with the U.S. Open Cup? It's the oldest competition in America. And he's finding every single avenue and opportunity to demean it. I just don't understand it. And so, yeah, my team is in it, so I'm going to be passionate about it. But even before, it's a cool competition. You know, you got your top-level flight. I mean, England, they've been doing it for years. I mean, we do it here in the U.S. Open Cup, but I mean, you've got the FA Cup in England. You got pretty much every country has this kind of where you can get a you know, Joe Blow club and of a bunch of amateurs, or you can have guys that don't play that often with the either U.S. USL. And all of this stuff, and it's just one big competition, and it's like, see who's the best. A lot of times, the MLS, they win the U.S. Open Cup. That's fine. But there's occasionally times where a USL championship team might win, or some amateur club. I know it doesn't happen very, very often, but it's the you can do it. That's the beauty of it. If me and you and some other guys, you know, in our area got a team together, and put some money down, of course. There's always money involved. But we could put ourselves into the Open Cup and play our way into it and potentially win the thing. It's beautiful. It's so simple but so beautiful.
Yeah, it is, Maddie. And I agree with you, brother. It just feels like these guys are out of touch. They're really out of touch with the game. Right. We mentioned earlier in this episode, super fans, about, you know, MLS Next and how it's progressing and everything that's coming with that. And, you know, that's given me a lot of hope for, you know, soccer in the U.S. And we already know it's going to blow up, guys. We already know that. It's already doing that with the youth and people, fans getting involved and really supporting their teams. But you look at. You just mentioned it, Maddie. USL. You look at NWSL, right? They're coming. They're like, I don't know what it is. I just love how they're, you know, just how they handle their league, just how everything's structured, just how they're trying to grow their league, just how the streaming and everything that they're doing. And for whatever reason, our commissioner, and look, Garber, you're doing a great job overall. I'm not knocking for that. But when it comes to the essence of the game, Maddie just said it best. This is the oldest. This is like a historic, right, tournament here in the U.S. And you're treating it as if it's whatever. I mean, come on, man. I don't know who he has talking to him. He might have a lot of yes men around him, Maddie. I don't know. But for him to drop the ball on this right here is just... it's bad. And I'm hoping, you know, maybe somebody listening and commish move, like I said, move Miami to Wednesday night. Probably won't happen, but learn from this, guys. I mean, commish.
All right, Mike, I think that's going to wrap us up for this episode. We had a lot to talk about with Miami and this Leagues Cup and them getting preferential treatment for the scheduling. But, you know, that's just the way it goes, it seems, in the MLS world.
Yes, indeed. Thanks again, super fans, for hanging out with us. And in this instance, I'm going to quote one of my favorite songs from Tupac, All Eyes on Me. Well, now it's All Eyes on Miami, because we're going to watch the fallout from this, Maddie. We're going to watch out and see if the commish does anything as far as punishments, which I doubt it. And we're going to see how they're going to do for the rest of the season. They got a month left. Let's see what happens from here. But... next week, guys, tune in. We're going to be cooking. Like I said, it's going to be the toasters, the bagels, the Foreman grills, the hibachi. You know what I'm saying, Maddie? We got some cooking to do next week, because it's a certain team and a certain coach, as I like to call them, that's going to get stir-fried and deep-fried like a turkey next week. So you guys definitely tune in. And thanks again. Have fun, be safe, and have a super fantastic week. Peace.
All right. Later, you knuckleheads.
Thank you for joining us and showing your support. Become a part of our community by subscribing to our SoccerCast. Hit us up and send your comments to info@superfansusa.com. Peace.